Praise God. Well, last week was a teaching on Jesus, our healer. We're going to spend some more time this morning on that, and just some foundational truths. And you know, these things we can never hear too much of. And this is just leaning into the simplicity of the gospel in this area. Sometimes it can get just fuzzy. I think, you know, you hear so much, or different people are at different places. Some people have never heard anything. Some people, you know, it's like it gets fuzzy over time, and the simplicity, it can become like a work instead of just being simple. And so we're just covering some truths in this area. Look at Acts 10, verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears him and works righteousness, he is accepted by him.'" So right here, this is at Cornelius's house. These are the Gentiles that, you know, up to this time, the whole church was Jewish. And so God appeared to Peter. God spoke to Cornelius about a man coming and named Peter, and to call for him, and God spoke to Peter to go with him, to not doubt, to go, because it's a Gentile. They're not supposed to do that. That means somebody, you know, non-Jewish person. And so Cornelius invites Peter to his house. He comes, he has all his family, all his household there, and Peter has been ministering the gospel to him. And so that's what's going on here. So he is, let's go ahead and read verse 34 again. "But Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all.'" Verse 37, "That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." Verse 38, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Now, I'm going to cover some ground, a lot of ground that we did last week, cover some of these verses, add some verses, and then add some more truth to it. So if you didn't hear last week's message, go back and listen to them on our website, YouTube, on the podcast, whatever. I'm not going to cover everything, but I'm going to cover it at least some. But we emphasize certain things last week, and we're going to continue with that and then emphasize some more. But verse 38, just look at verse 38. It says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing," what's that next word? "Good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So there's so much just in this one verse. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Spirit and power. Jesus is God, but he was walking as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. In other words, he didn't just do everything because he's God. He did it anointed by the Holy Spirit. And so he told, this is critical. I mean, we're not going to focus on this part this morning, but for the church, God was just doing it as God, then we have no business carrying it on because he was God. He's not here. He's here in spirit, but Jesus didn't do it just because he's God. He did it as God, as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. So he said, "Greater works will these you will do." So he said to his church to keep going on and doing these things, but it says, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil." So notice it says he was doing good, and part of that good was healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So God is not putting sickness on people. Jesus went about doing good, which included healing. He healed them all who were oppressed by the devil. So Satan is the author of sickness and disease, not God. It says, "For God was with him." In the NIV, it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil." because God was with him. So he went about doing good. He healed all who were under the power of the devil. So Jesus was not going about undoing what God the Father did. God was not putting sickness on people, and then Jesus is coming and healing a few of them. Notice it said he healed all of them, and they were under the power of the devil. So it's not something God was doing. It's something that is evil. We read this, John 14:7. It says, if you had known me, this is Jesus speaking, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. This is Jesus speaking. He who has seen me, Jesus, he said, you have seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So Jesus is saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, Jesus is the will of God in action. If you've seen Jesus, so in other words, we can look at Jesus and know what the will of the Father is. We can look at Jesus and we've seen the Father. In other words, the Father, God is not doing something different than Jesus. So Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So what's God's will? To put sickness on people? No, that would be contradictory. Jesus would have to say, well, you know, sometimes the Father and I were at odds. He's making people sick and I'm coming and trying to heal them. But you never know what we're going to do. That's not what he said. That's not what the Bible said. The Bible said that Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and that if you look at Jesus, if you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Look at John 6:38. It says, for I have come down, this is Jesus again, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So Jesus said, I'm not doing my own thing. I'm doing what God the Father sent me. So God the Father is sending Jesus, and it said he anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil or under the power of the devil. So Jesus was doing what God commissioned him to do, God the Father commissioned him to do, which was this. So that's God's will. In other words, we don't have to make this complicated. We know in any situation, God's will is to do what Jesus did. So you know God's will is to heal people, heal all of them who are under the power of the devil. It's that easy. All of them. John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus is saying the thief, Satan is a thief, does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the Amplified Classic, it says the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now go back to the previous part of that verse. So the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and to destroy. So Satan comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. God does not. Amen. That's not his will. Jesus is saying this. The thief does those things, steal, kill, and destroy. So you can chalk it up. If it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not God. We're in the age of grace. We are in the church age, and Jesus came to show us the will of the Father. Amen. And so, can you put that up again? So if it's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's not God. Jesus came. He's saying this about himself. I came that they may have and enjoy life. Go ahead and put the next part. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. So ask yourself the question, does sickness fall in that latter category? When you're sick, would you say, oh, I'm living the abundant life, it's just overflowing? No. Whether it's a cold, flu, or something much more serious, when you are sick, you don't feel like you're living the abundant life. I mean, nobody I know feels like that. That's not God's will. That's the devil. That's the thief. It's not God's will that we be sick. It's God's will that we be healthy and whole. Not one single time did someone come to Jesus for healing and he told them it's not the Father's will. Find it in the Bible. Every time somebody came to Jesus, if they came to him in faith, they were healed. Nobody ever came. You'd think there would be one, because people think, well, you just never know. It might be the will of the Father for you to be sick. Jesus is the will of God in action, and he healed. He healed everybody that came to him. So you determine, we got to look at what the Bible says in these things to determine what is true. Now, we went over this. I'm going to go over this and go further. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. So this is talking about, that Isaiah is prophesying about the Messiah who will come, which is Jesus. Surely, it says, surely he, the Messiah, talking about Jesus, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Oh, I put the wrong verse. Okay, so, oh no, I got it. Never mind. Forget what I just said. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. So this is talking about Jesus. Now in those first two words, go put Isaiah 53, 4 up, what we just read. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Okay, I'm going to read you this in the Young's Literal translation, which the Young's Literal is very literal about what the original language, in this case the Hebrew, is saying, but it's kind of clunky to read, but it gets the point across. It says, verse 4 says, surely our sicknesses, because that's that what that word actually means. Our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains he has carried him, and we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God, and afflicted. Surely our sicknesses he has borne, and our pains. So that's what Jesus bore. Our sicknesses and our pains. In the Amplified Classic, it says, surely he has borne our griefs. So it brings out what that means. Surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our distresses. And he carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. So in other words, we thought that it was because he did something wrong instead of he was bearing it for us. He bore it for us. So it's talking about the Messiah and saying he bore our sicknesses, bore our pains. In other words, he carried them. And so we went over this in Isaiah 53:11. Then later in that same chapter, it says he now same. It's talking about the Messiah still. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. So in verse 11, it says, for he shall bear their iniquities. In verse 12, it says, he bore the sin of many. Talking about Jesus. Well, he bore our sin. And most Christians will, I mean, to be a Christian, you have to accept that part. That's the whole thing, is that he bore our sin. In other words, he paid the penalty for our sin on the cross, which when you get born again, you are saying, I believe, I declare Jesus is Lord, and I believe he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead for my justification, my acquittal. From what? For what I've done wrong, he paid for it. He made the payment for it so that I can be made a child of God. In other words, he paid the penalty that I deserved so that I could go free. To be a Christian, you have, that's the definition. You are putting faith in the Lord Jesus that he bore your sin. But that's not all he bore. So when you look at this the same way, so if you go back to when we just read in verse 11 and 12, he shall bear iniquities and bore sin. When you go earlier in that same chapter in Isaiah 53, 4, which we just read, go ahead and put it up in the Amplified Classics. That's easy. That's just right before Isaiah 53, 4 in the Amplified. Surely he has borne, this is also something he bore, our griefs, which is our sicknesses or weaknesses and distresses, and he carried our sorrows, and he carried our pains. And so in the same chapter, it's saying he bore our sicknesses and pains the same way he bore our sickness, our sins and iniquities. The word that's translated bear or bore is the same in both cases. In other words, the same way he bore our sin and iniquities is the same way he bore our sicknesses. So if we believe that he took our sins, if he paid the penalty for our sins, the exact same language is saying he paid for our sickness. They're in the same package. In other words, they're not separate. They are part of what is called, what we call the atonement of Jesus. The payment, in other words, the payment package, the benefit package includes both. It includes sickness and disease. So go to Matthew 8:16 then. Matthew 8:16 and 17 is now looking back at what we just read in Isaiah and translating it for us, in case there's any doubt. Matthew 8:16 and 17, now this is talking about Jesus. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he, Jesus, cast out the spirits with the word, and notice, he healed all who were sick. All of them. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, what we just read, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. So in case there was any doubt, the Holy Spirit translated it for us and said, Jesus, who was going about healing, that is to fulfill what Isaiah was talking about sickness and disease, that he took our infirmities, he bore our sickness. And then in 1 Peter 2:24, it says, who himself bore, referring to Isaiah again, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah says that you are healed through what Jesus did. Here it's looking back saying you were healed through what Jesus did. So this is part of the atonement. This is part of what Jesus paid for. Now look at Hebrews 13:8. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. So whatever we see, Jesus is God. You say God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever we see in Jesus' time, whatever we see God was, that's the same as he is now. God doesn't change. People change. God doesn't change. So when we see something in the Word about him, we know it's the same now. And nothing in the Bible says that God stopped being healer. Let's look at Psalm 103, verse 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. So all Christians say, oh yeah, thank God Jesus forgives. He forgives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, he forgives. Look at the next sentence. Who heals all your diseases. It's literally in the same verse. Which goes along with Isaiah. He does both. It's not either or. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It comes with the benefit package. If you've received Jesus as your Lord, you can receive him as your healer. Amen. Because he already is. It's just whether we are believing. How does faith come? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. But if we've heard, well, I don't know, Jesus or God may just have a purpose in sickness. He may be working it out. We don't know. He heals some. We just don't know. It may be God's will for us to be sick. If we hear those things, there is no faith. You cannot believe. That puts you on shaky ground. You know, if it's, I like the way it says, forget not all his benefits. If you have a benefit package, you're employed at a certain company and you have a benefit package. Well, with that package, there's a source of truth that lists out what those benefits are for you. You know, if you have a health insurance and that's one of the benefits, it's going to list out what are all the actual specifics of that plan. What does it cover? What does it not cover, right? This is how much your deductible is. This is how your max out of pocket is for an individual and for the family. And here's your deductible for the individual. Here's the deductible for the family. Here's how much it is for checkups, normal visits. Here's how much it is for a specialist, right? And every plan is different. So you can't say, well, my neighbor, they work for such and such a company and they have this these benefits. So I just believe that I have these benefits at my company. It doesn't work that way. You need to know what your benefits say, right? How do you know that? You have to go to, there's a source of truth. There's a document that says what your benefits include. If you don't know, you could be working at a company and not take advantage of the benefit. You know, like some companies, as part of their health package, they'll have health insurance and pay so much on that, but they may have something where there's wellness parts of it, where they may pay for a membership to a gym for you because they're trying to be preemptive. It's a whole lot better for you to stay healthy than it is for them to pay tons of medical bills, you know, when you get sick. So there's proactive things. Well, you can think, yeah, I got the health insurance, but you didn't see the thing about the gym membership, so you're paying your own membership because you didn't know. And then you're talking to a coworker one day, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to the gym tonight. Man, isn't this great that the company pays for that part? What? I missed that. You're saying we can, yeah, you just give them the receipt, you tell them what's going on, and you get reimbursed for that. That's part of the package. You didn't read your benefit package? You didn't know that? Now, would it be the company's fault? I mean, it's there. You can't say it's their fault. I mean, they have problems. I'm sure there's a lot of things going on when you're first getting hired, and you're like, they told you, but you just, for whatever reason, spaced out. And so you didn't read it. You didn't know. Well, you couldn't say, well, no, to your friend, well, I don't believe it. I mean, they're not paying mine. Well, did you ask them? Well, no, I didn't know anything about it. Well, why don't you go read your document? And you read the document, you're like, oh, it's right there. That is how faith comes. When we're talking about these things, well, yeah, people go, oh, thank God that Jesus forgives you. I mean, pretty much universally, if somebody's actually a Christian, they're going to say yes and amen, or else they didn't believe Jesus for their salvation, right? But not everybody is going to believe in healing, either because they haven't been told or there's something else they've been told. But when you're looking at the contract and saying, wait a minute, this is right next to the other clause. You're telling me it's healing. Jesus bore our sicknesses. He took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And that's right next to he bore my sin. Well, that means it's mine. That means it's the same. If I can believe, so it'd be, oh, I just don't have faith for it. It's so far. If you can believe that Jesus took your sins and bore your sins and in for eternity, you believe and have put your faith in the fact that you are a child of God based on what the Word of God says and based on what Jesus did, and that's forever. If we can believe that, that is actually so much bigger than believing that then he also provided healing for our body, which our body is only going to be around for a little while, relatively speaking. It is actually the lesser thing. And when we understand that, wait, God has provided it, that he wants me well, period. Well, now I can believe that. I don't have to deal with this thought. I wonder if this is just God teaching me something. Maybe I'm the one that I don't understand. You know, I did something wrong, and this is just, you know, God's retribution, and I don't understand it, but God, I praise you. Well, it's noble that you're still praising him, except that's misinformed. Because he didn't do it, and that's not his will. And so if we get to the place where it's like, no matter what, I know he wants me well. That'd be like if somebody was trying to talk you out of, well, you know, Jesus really, yeah, he bore most people's sins, but not yours. It's not yours. If somebody tried to tell you that, most Christians would be like, oh, no. No, I know. I believed on the Lord Jesus. But with healing, oh, you just push, just nudge. In this area, see, we haven't been taught as much. We don't have it just as strong. And so it's easy for Satan just to nudge us and with untruth, with lies that are very prevalent. And people are like, well, I don't know. I mean, look at that person. I mean, I thought they were doing a good job. What happened? Well, if somebody rejected Jesus as their Savior, that doesn't say anything about the truth. If somebody doesn't accept Jesus as their healer, that doesn't say anything about the truth. That just says something about, and we don't know everything. I mean, you don't have to get into judging God's word by somebody's experience, yours, mine, or anybody else. We have to say, God, your word says this. The benefit package says this. So that's what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe what you said. I'm not going to believe something else. If God's word, if I see God's word says that I am healed, then I have to reject other thoughts. I have to reject other thoughts that would try to talk me out of it. If somebody was coming for salvation and they said, yeah, but you don't know what I've done. And if you know the gospel, you would say, and we're talking about salvation, forgiveness of sin. I mean, your sin is done away with in Jesus. And so it's already taken care of. So when you come to get salvation, you're not getting forgiven. You've been forgiven. You are coming to accept what he's already done. But if you come to what Jesus paid for, Sid, you would tell him, it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what Jesus' blood is greater, right? And if they were like, no, you don't understand. I've been really bad. If you know the gospel, you'd say, it doesn't matter. I may not know everything you've done, but God's greater. And you would go, and if they were like, yeah, but I feel really bad about it, and you just don't understand, you may go around with them in circles, just no, you don't understand how great the blood of Jesus is. You don't know what he did for you. And if you'll believe on him, it'll take care of whatever you've done. It's already covered. You can still become a Christian. They say, I don't know if I can become a Christian. You say, yes, you can, because why? The Bible says it. Yeah. So that if somebody says, I don't know, I mean, I just don't know if God will heal me, I've done this wrong, we have to get to the same place where, like, no, the Bible says that he took your infirmities, bore your sicknesses. If you did do something wrong, then repent of it and say, I did that. Now, God, now that's where you'd say, forgive me. You say, I acknowledge you did it wrong. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse you and forgive you of all unrighteousness. And or cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and you say, look, if I have to get rid of something, fine, but now go forward. In other words, there's nothing that you did. Okay, you messed up. You did the wrong thing. You messed up, and you're dealing with consequences. God's power is greater. He still wants you well. Why? Because the Bible says so. We have to get as tenacious with that as we would with salvation. How we do that? Because we know what the contract says. We're like, no, it says it right here. I'm not going to be talked out of it. And the thing is, we say, well, I don't know if I have enough faith. If we have enough faith to believe what God did concerning sin, we have enough faith to believe in healing. They're the same package. How does faith come? By getting this in us to the degree we know this and we will not be pushed off it. So put up Psalm 103, verse 1 again, or verse 3. It says, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. One more thing there. Who forgives how many of your iniquities? Again, if somebody said, yeah, but you don't know what I did, you'd say, he forgives all. He forgives, and it says he heals all your diseases. Yeah, but this is really hard. Hard for God? What does all mean? It means all. It doesn't say all but one. See, we'll think, well, something, that's hard. To God, it's not hard. So we have to switch the way we see. No, to God, it's nothing. God created the body. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's in the same class as, it is the same atonement, same class as being born again. God still, so they're in the same class. And God still forgives all that will come to him today. And so he still heals all that will come to him today. He forgives sins and sicknesses on the same level. Period. Same level. Same package. Jesus already paid for it. Look at Exodus 15:26. It says, and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. It's a whole thing. People going against him, disobeying him. Here it says, for I am the Lord who heals you. This is the word to the Israelites. I am the Lord who heals you. Now this word, when it says, I am the Lord who heals you, that is actually one of God's, what we call, seven redemptive names. I am the Lord. It means literally, I am the Lord, your physician. I am the Lord who heals you. And it's Jehovah Rapha. So these words, we're not going to get real deep here, but just to get this point, just so we can see this. Jehovah Rapha, when you have Jehovah, I'm going to read from, this is from Christ the Healer, but he's actually quoting the Scofield Bible. So this is what I'm reading is from Christ the Healer, and then he starts quoting the Scofield Bible. He said, on pages 6 and 7 of the Scofield Bible, Mr. Scofield, in his footnote on the redemptive names, says that the name Jehovah is distinctly the redemption name of deity and means the self-existent one who reveals himself. These seven redemptive names, he says, point to a continuous and increasing self-revelation. And then he says, in his redemptive relation to man, Jehovah has seven compound names which reveal him as meeting every need of man from his lost state to the end. So these words, and I'm going to read you all seven. But when it says Jehovah Rapha, that is the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord, your physician. I'm the Lord who heals you. That's one of those names. So I'm going to read you the rest of them. But I'm going to read you the rest. Let me read this before I go on. I'm going to read this, read the last part of the Schofield and then read another part of it. It says, in his redemptive relation to man, Jehovah has seven compound names which reveal him as meeting every need of man from his lost state to the end. Since it is his redemptive relation to us that these names reveal, they must each point to Calvary, where Jesus died on the cross, where we were redeemed. The blessing that each name reveals must be provided by the atonement or by what Jesus did. In other words, these names are redemptive names of God, but God does not change, so they are for all time. So whatever we see in these redemptive names, they don't change over time. So we'll come back. Jehovah Shammah is translated, the Lord is there or present. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. That's one of his names. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord, our peace. So as we go, ask ourselves, Jehovah Shammah, the first one, the Lord is there. The Lord never leaves you or forsake you. Is that true now? Does the Lord never leave us nor forsake us? You know, Hebrews 13. So that's true now. Jehovah Shalom, translated the Lord our peace. Is he our peace now? Yes, he is. Jehovah Raha is translated, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. Is that true now? Is he our shepherd? It says he's the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Is that true now? We read in the offering, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Is that true now? Yes. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord is our banner or victor or captain. He's our victory. Is that true? Yes. He always leads us in victory, the Bible says. Jehovah Sidkenu. Is translated, the Lord our righteousness. Is he our righteousness now? Amen. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel. Yeah. So then Jehovah Rapha is translated, I am the Lord, your physician. I am the Lord who heals you. Is that true now? Yes. How would that be the one that's not true? That's illogical. How can you drop that? Because these names are not transient. God does not change. The Lord is the same. Jesus is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. These names reveal God himself, who he is, and the culmination of what he did in Jesus. Anything he redeemed us from, Jesus came to redeem us from, to be, so we didn't have to be anxious, so we could be at peace, so we could be provided for, so we don't have to be alone. All these things, that he is our shepherd, that he is our victory, that he is our righteousness. So it would be completely logically inconsistent to say, oh, but now, 2025, in the day we live in, he is no longer your physician. He is no longer your healer. That passed away. You cannot believe that is illogical. That is not consistent with Scripture. That you would have to say a part of what God, that would make him, he was the healer. But he can't do it now. But that would contradict the fact that Jesus walked about as the explicit, express will of God in action As he said it himself, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So you are looking at the will of God. Nothing in the Bible said that God became, that the fact that he's a healer has passed away, and that when he is our physician, that's become he was our physician, and no longer our physician, and no longer our healer. The contract that Jesus consummated with his death, burial, and resurrection is completely in effect now in everything that it has in the atonement. Includes all these things, includes all sin, but includes all sickness. They're in the same benefit package. Amen. Today, now, he is our healer now. Yes, he is. He is the healer. If you were to ask God, which his word says it, ask God, well, what about healing? His word, he in his word, by his redemption, he paid for that package. He paid for healing. He paid for it to be in our lives. So when we look at what God has said, just like with salvation, if you were talking about salvation with somebody, giving them the gospel, you say, now you have to make him your savior. You have to say, see, the contract's been written. The contract has been consummated by the blood of Jesus. But we have to decide, I believe that, and that is what is in my life for me. Because it doesn't matter if it's on the table if we don't partake of it. Just like the benefits at a company. It does not matter if it's there. Doesn't matter if the company provided it. If we don't say that's mine, I'm going to take it, then it doesn't become active in our lives. If we're talking about salvation, the forgiveness of sin, if we don't decide to say, God did. He is Lord. He rose from the dead for my justification. I believe that. He is my Lord. And why do I believe it? Not because I feel good or feel something, but because his word said it. I'm acting on it. He said, if you declare Jesus as Lord, if you believe that he raised him from the dead in your heart, you will be saved. So what do? I act on that. So how do I take him as my healer? He already is that when we receive him. He's already there. So what do we say? I believe that he is my physician. If you said, God, that you are the Lord that heals me, that's one of your redemptive names. You said you heal all my diseases. I take that as right. That's in my life. You are my healer. You are my healer. Now, today, you're not was. I take you as my healer. So that means you're with me. You're guiding me. Your will for my life is 100% without a shadow of a doubt. You want me well. 100%. 100%. I don't entertain any thoughts anymore that somehow it would be not, if that's not God's will. I don't entertain any thoughts that it's not for me. I say, no, he's my healer. Lord, I just thank you that you're my healer. 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 You are the great physician. You're my physician. Amen. Amen. Amen.